After 31 years of providing arts programming from their location at the corner of Princess and Victoria Street, the Kingston School of Art is giving up their space due to financial challenges. Founded in 1994, KSOA has served as a cornerstone of the local art community, providing accessible classes, supplies, and exhibitions, including their annual juried exhibition. However, the decision to leave their physical space does not mean KSOA is closing its doors. KSOA Board President Christiane Wojcik spoke with CFRC about the challenges that led to this decision and what's next for the school. I was wondering if you could speak to the financial challenges that led to this decision to move.
Sure. It's really a little bit complex. So KSOA is incredibly unique and really fortunate in one way, which is we were completely volunteer run for most of the 30-year history. And so what that means is we didn't have any employees that really belonged to KSOA until around 2020, 2021. Everything that was done with KSOA was done through volunteer engagements. You know, obviously we had people that we paid. We employed teaching artists throughout that time, but we didn't have, say, like a director or administrative staff. The board of directors as volunteers were running everything. So that kept overhead costs really low because we didn't have salaries for staff who were really running all the mechanics of KSOA. And then during COVID, the previous board, so just prior to my time, really decided through some strategic analysis that for KSOA to grow, but also survive after COVID and be able to adapt to changing models and some complex funding, we needed staff. And so we hired staff at that point. And it's been an experiment for the last couple of years of us figuring out funding models and how do we keep paying our artists the wage that they are entitled to, while keeping the cost of classes as low as possible so that we still fulfill our mission as a community art school. But things like overhead salaries and then other increases just in the general cost of things. Our rent has gone up, utilities have gone up, materials costs have gone up, everything else. It's really made it difficult to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm. And how will KSOA continue to serve the community? What's the plan?
So it's still under development, but we're really excited about the steps that we're taking so far. So part of the plan is obviously to give up our physical space at Princess and Victoria. That was the public announcement just recently, but by no means means that we're closing. That facility has been amazing to us. We've actually been with the same landlord for 30 years. We've simply just outgrown the space in terms of the model. And we really feel like what the community needs from us. So we've spent a couple of months engaging with other partners in the art sector and really asking, what is the purpose of KSOA now? 30 years is a long time. We're older than the Tet Center. We're older than a lot of other arts sector availabilities and classes and things that you can do in Kingston. They weren't here when we started. So looking at 2025, you know, what does the community really need from us? We're a nonprofit charity, and if we don't really have a mission we're fulfilling, then maybe it is time to just bow out. But the message we've gotten was no, KSOA is needed, and we really need to go back to our core focus, which is in arts instruction. That's something that's just not happening within the community here through any other agency, the way that we do it and the way that we have mastered that for three decades. So the idea is to focus on arts instruction and to bring that into some underutilized spaces throughout the community. So what you would be looking to see from KSOA later in 2025 and then on into the future would be art classes being held in different spaces across Kingston, maybe areas of town where art classes are not currently being offered, in spaces, buildings that, you know, are closed for part of the week that might be perfect spots to create art and to bring people together, but they're just underutilized after hours or on weekends. And so that's what we really want to start later this year is, you know, getting rid of our own kind of overhead lease obligations and using other spaces more efficiently to bring arts more community-based. We're also working on some additional plans with a working group right now that includes representation from the whole art sector, as well as the city, local artists, and others, because we have one unique asset in our public sort of community engagement with the printmaking machines. So KSOA really started because we ended up in possession of quite an extensive set of printmaking equipment. So printing presses and everything that goes with that. All of these came from St. Lawrence College back in the early 90s when they closed their printmaking program. That is material that we can't exactly cart around town because it's thousands of pounds, literally, of material. So the side project we're working on is this working group to find a new home, a new purpose for all of this printmaking equipment. And so that may end up being a little side project of KSOA along with some of our partners, whether that's a printmakers guild or a community print shop that KSOA is running so that artists can continue to access that equipment, but it just makes more sense for our financial model.
Well, not having those lease obligations and finding more creative ways to use spaces, is that going to kind of cover those financial challenges that you're dealing with, or will there have to be other changes, like changes to staff or things like that?
We hope that this does it. So right now we have gone back to a model where the board is running everything again. We're back to where we were a few years ago, where we do not have staff at this moment. That's certainly been a challenge for the board. We're volunteers and most of us work full time. So we're doing this with the time that we have to get this launched. We do expect to rehire a staff person as a operational coordinator with the new community-based model. But for the moment, it's all being run off volunteers. So we hope that by doing a little bit of a reset with our overhead expenses, staffing, et cetera, and using information we've been gathering over the last couple of months for what the highest in-demand courses are, really concentrating our efforts around those things that the community wants for us, we think that that's going to be the ticket for stabilizing our finances and making a model that allows us to continue well into the future.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be moving forward, as you mentioned, hopefully with one staff member coming back. How many staff members did you have prior to these changes?
It changes throughout the year, particularly during the summer when we had been running things like summer camps, where we did have a number of student staff or summer staff. But we did have one full-time and one part-time staff member before these changes. One of those we did lose because of these changes, and the other was a temporary position that they've moved on to other employment here in the community, which we're happy about.
Mm-hmm. And we're kind of in this limbo phase right now. You mentioned the big print machines and all the other supplies that are currently at KSOA. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to where that's all at and how you guys are handling that.
Yeah. So it's a great question. There's a couple different pieces to it. So right now, actually, through the entire month of February and probably into March, we are doing an ongoing book and art sale. 30 years, you accumulate a lot of stuff, and some of it is great. To be fair, some of it ends up being dried out acrylics that we just are doing some clean out of things. But there's certainly things around there that local artists or enthusiasts would want to get their hands on. So anybody can stop by the Window Art Gallery, which is part of KSOA. That's the Victoria Street entrance to the facility. And there is an ongoing book and art sale in the WAG right now for the entire month of February. So it's pay what you can for most items. We have hundreds of art books. We have odd pieces of printmaking and art, things that are from classes, sample sales, all sorts of stuff that we've kind of dug out of the archives there in the physical space while we're starting to look at packing up and cleaning up 30 years worth of things in that creative space. So certainly we'd encourage anybody, if you're looking for art books, if you are a muralist, a collage artist, anybody who wants to take things, cut them up, there's books, huge books, as cheap as $5. For the most part, things are pay what you will. And we're using that money just as a fundraiser for the school and to help sort some of the costs that come with moving, like boxes and, you know, disposal fees. A lot of the assets we're going to be hanging on to and moving just into storage space. So things that are really essential to running art classes, like our easels, equipment that works well. So small art supplies, you know, various things like that. We're going to be moving into offsite storage. And then with the community model, we would be bringing those things to the places where we are teaching classes. There's going to be stuff that we are unloading. Right now, the board is talking about having a public sale probably in early April, and we'd be making an announcement about that on our social channels as well as our website, where this would be anything that we don't want to take with us that's still sort of we uncover that's useful. That could be art supplies, brushes, canvas, could be tables and chairs, fixtures, different things that we just feel it's time to let go of. We're planning for a public sale probably in early April that anybody who's looking for stuff for their studio is going to want to keep on their radar.
Once again, that was Christiane Wojcik, KSOA board president, on the school's decision to say goodbye to their home of 31 years. Wojcik also noted that art lovers can stay tuned for belated 30th anniversary celebrations in summer 2025. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.